This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Have you been on superhumanradio.com lately? Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a really, really good show planned for you today. You know it's Thursday, so the second hour will be dedicated to the Supversity Science Roundup, where we look at science in the news and give you the realities of the research instead of the sound bites that they like to sensationalize tell you what the science really should mean to you. And I will be joined by the brilliant Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany, to perform that task during the second hour. During the first hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell Institute Center for Regenerative Medicine, talking about what his group has discovered in the ability to reverse aging in muscles, make muscles young again. This is a really important discussion, not just for those of us like myself who embrace the whole anti-aging message of staving off age-related disease and maintaining youthful vigor, but also to the athletes who listen to the show who may want to understand more so the underpinnings of how muscles respond and grow. So we're going to get started right away with Dr. Andrew Brack. How you doing, Dr. Brack?
Hi, Carl. Good to speak to you.
My pleasure. Important research. So first of all, let's talk about why you see this. I mean, your group is working on this not for the selfish, narcissistic, esoteric side of muscle growth that I enjoy, which is to look more muscular and more athletic. You're looking at it from the standpoint of, and we talked about this on the show numerous times, as we age, we lose muscle mass and dexterity, and that usually leads to the inability to be ambulatory, which ends up leading us down that road to an institution, right?
That's right. I think, one of the phrases that people are using a lot now is sort of health span. And that's what our work is really trying to understand, is how can stem cell and regenerative medicine improve health span? The idea being if you're 70, 80, 90 years of age, you can run a marathon rather than living till 120. So that's really what our focus and our aim of our work is trying to achieve.
Now, let's differentiate two terms for a second. What is the difference between a stem cell and a satellite cell? We've talked about the effects of certain ergogenic supplements like creatine monohydrate, beta-alanine, and even strenuous exercise techniques in stimulating satellite cell deployment and differentiation. Is a satellite cell just a stem cell? Are we talking about the same thing, or are they very different?
Well, I would say, stem cells are found in all parts of the body of the adult. You have stem cells that are in the muscle, stem cells that are in the bone, and they take care of repair and maintenance of all those tissues. Satellite cells have the properties of a stem cell that are able to make themselves and also make the differentiated muscle tissue. So they possess stem cell properties, so they are a stem cell. But the satellite cell definition has really come from its localization in the muscle, sitting satellite to or outside of the muscle fiber. They're one of the same thing, yes.
Okay. Now, we've had lots of brilliant scientists on the show over the years where we've discussed different modalities of stem cell therapies.
Yes.
And what we've come to learn is that stem cell differentiation is a critical step in the activation of a stem cell, and it takes real vitamin A plays a role in the stem cell differentiation. If a stem cell is in muscle,
yes.
Is it still a progenitor cell? Can it still become anything, or does it exclusively become muscle so differentiation is not an issue?
Right. So certainly satellite cells or the stem cells that are in the muscle are very much biased to make muscle. That's probably because the way they're set up during development and the signals they receive in that muscle. We have found, so nine times out of 10, they make muscle, and that's all they can make. We have found in certain instances in disease states, such as aging, I guess would consider a disease state, that some of the satellite cells do lose their monopotency, their ability to make muscle, and we find they can make some connective tissue. That was work that we did years ago when I was just training in Tom Rando's lab in Stanford. So they should just make muscle, and nine times out of 10 they do. In a sort of disease state, maybe they lose that tight regulation.
Now, when we talk about aging, mm-hmm. are we not really talking about, for lack of better terms, a subclinical disease state? So in other words, physicians and the medical orthodoxy accept the aging process as not a pathology or a malignancy, but a natural progression of the body. But isn't it, can it be said that aging in and of itself, if you looked at it and didn't say to yourself, well, we all age, it's not a disease, isn't it really a slow creeping disease state?
That's right. Yeah, I think, you know, I think as a physician may say, you know, everybody becomes aged and you deteriorate. So that maybe that's not a disease that someone becomes, you know, everyone's susceptible to aging. But if you look at the phenotypes, i.e. how the tissues look, they don't look healthy. They don't look like a normal, healthy adult. So I think it could be considered a disease state. But it is inevitable, I guess, left untreated, and if we live long enough.
Well, and that's the discussion that we have every day here on the show.
Yeah.
And that is, how do you push it back? How do you stave off age-related disease? How do you stay youthful? And clearly it can be done.
Yes.
Lots of great minds are working on that, like your group right here. I mean, this is an important discussion to have because, let's face it, I've said for 8 years, mm-hmm. muscle is metabolic currency. The way people save money for the end of their lives, they need to make sure they have enough muscle on their carcass so that that money isn't used paying for an institution to change their diapers day in and day out.
That's right. I mean, I think, you know, the adage of use it or lose it is certainly a definitely prevalent in muscle maintenance. You do, this is work done by other people, but, you know, you will decline in your muscle mass as you age. So really, the important point is, where are you starting from when that happens?
Yeah, and let's face it, declining muscle mass leads to things like insulin resistance and other issues, aside from just the mechanical changes of the body and the loss of the ability to be ambulatory. So muscle plays a very, very large role as an organ, if you will, in the body.
It's maintenance of glucose, it's maintenance of heat production, very important.
Well, and now we just learned Adele Moussa on the last Subversity talked mm-hmm. about the fact that muscle, now we understand muscle makes leptin. Not just fat cells, and that the leptin produced by muscle may be as important, if not more important, than the leptin produced by fat cells. So once again, we're finding out that muscle is more of an organ than just a necessary evil to move joints through space. Let's talk about this before we get into the break. Talk about the design of your study. So what exactly did your group do?
Right. Okay. So our lab primarily works on the mouse models of aging. You know, it's easier to do a look at mice over 2 years compared to a human over 70, although there are obviously limitations. It is a model.
Right.
So the idea was to figure out why the observation that has been seen in numerous labs, do you lose the number of satellite cells or muscle stem cells during the aging process? This had been cited numerous times, but never really understood why that happens. So Joe Chakalakal, a postdoc in my lab, set out to address that question. And what he observed was that during the aging process, the microenvironment of the muscle stem cell is altered, which means the stem cell is receiving different signals. And those signals now tend to be detrimental. One of the signals he found was a potent growth factor that's found in abundance in development called fibroblast growth factor 2.
Yeah, FGF, right.
So this is expressed normally in development, and then gets silent and turns on during repair in a healthy muscle. What Joe found was that during tonic levels of aging, where you think the mouse is just running around occasionally exercising heavily or been injured, this mitogen increased. Now, instead of that being of benefit to the mouse, and to the muscle, it actually caused a detrimental change, whereby the stem cells, where they sit in this quiescent, dormant state, in a, you know, suspended animation sort of state, they started getting a bit crazy. They started activating, and this led to their functional exhaustion. And so what we saw is there is a signaling cascade between the microenvironment of the stem cell to the stem cell. And that was leading to the loss of muscle stem cell maintenance.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So what you're saying is that it was not a lack of stimulation, but a preponderance of overstimulation that
yes.
caused the stem cells to stop becoming new muscle cells.
So, yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, that's so counterintuitive. I was waiting for you to say, well, you know, the lack of IGF-1 and fibroblast growth factors and VEGF feeding it with more blood clearly shuts it. But you're saying that this becomes exacerbated by overstimulation.
Yeah, so I think if you put it into two phases, what's happening during resting periods, even for humans, you know, just walking rather than working out, versus what happens when you work out. So the cells, when you want to work out, are dampened in their sensitivity. Previous work from Tom Rando's lab, which I was involved with, has shown, and other authors have been shown, that the serum, the systemic regulatory factors in the aged environment, dampen the ability to the cell to respond to exercise and injury. So that's right. There is a dampened sensitivity. Our work is concentrating really on what happens during normal daily life. And what happens is you have too much of these growth factors that are causing the cells to respond and become subsequently dampened. So it's almost analogous to not allowing them to rest and recover. We think why that's happening is because this has been shown in numerous labs to be important for regeneration. We think during normal daily life, aged muscle is fragile.
I was just going to say, you know what? Because I'm thinking about this. I know athletes, including myself, we've used peptides like IGF-1, long R3, and obviously hormones like testosterone that stimulate protein synthetic response. And clearly, it's a dose-dependent response.
Right.
The more you use, the stronger and bigger you get. So clearly, in my humble opinion, aged muscle is under stress and trauma just in its normal day-to-day functioning. And so this is almost the very similar to the insulin resistance, insulin receptor issue in the preponderance of high levels of insulin continuously.
That's right. So we do believe that, you know, because of this chronic overexposure to FGF, you're probably getting some changes in receptor sensitivity that will impact the regenerative response. We're still working on that, but that's our current working model.
Now, FGF has been well known to be a stimulator of the recollateralization of nerve damage, of neuronal sprouting.
Yes.
So FGF also plays a role in the deployment of the satellite cells then, huh?
Yes, yeah, that's, you know, there are only so many growth factors in the body, I guess, and, you know, the ones that are in there and the development in embryo are reutilized across various tissues for various roles. So you could imagine that this increase in FGF, you know, we see it locally in the microenvironment, but we are seeing from other labs that this idea that the stem cells are losing their dormancy in the aged tissues could be a parallel to the muscle. Maybe that's FGF2, maybe it's other growth factors that are more inherent to the certain tissues. We're not sure yet. But we think this is going to be a conserved feature where stem cells are not able to rest.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about whether or not your group looked at myostatin, which is obviously the negative feedback loop to muscle growth. And if that happens to maybe that threshold changes as we age. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack. He is with the Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Regenerative Medicine at Harvard Stem Cell Institute. And we're talking about how his group actually reversed the aging of muscles. This is an important discussion. I know a lot of people look at anti-aging as, you know, keep my skin looking young, but let me tell you something. You can have beautiful skin and be stuck in a wheelchair because your muscles don't function anymore. So which do you want? I'd rather be ugly and ambulatory. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, hear from you.
No No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntoBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntoBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntoBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell Institute about reversing the aging of old muscles, making them young again, and also just the way muscle transcription occurs that causes hypertrophy. Obviously, that's what we're talking about here. Okay, so myostatin has been all over the news ever since Dr. Sejen Lee brought it to the forefront. And obviously, we understand that myostatin is a negative regulator of muscle growth. And in some disease states, seems to be overproduced. Do we produce more myostatin as we age? Is it a natural approach to the body? You know, because let's face it, the body never intended for us to have interventions. Mm-hmm. And we have one job as a species, and that is to procreate and then clear off the planet. Yeah. And is it possible that, myostatin's approach to it is a slow slide to home base, just deteriorate the body slowly?
It's a very good question. I think some of the myostatin work has been very powerful and shown, when you lose myostatin, you can get bigger muscle. You know, it's not really our area of expertise, but this pathway has been implicated in various contexts through myostatin and other elements of the pathway. So I believe it can manipulate muscle mass. I think the one of the questions that, you know, concerns us is if you can make bigger muscle, what else happens? So what, and the studies that we did where we manipulated a protein called SCI, which is part of the same pathway that myostatin operates, you overexpress SCI and you get big muscles in mice, about the same size as you see with the myostatin knockout results. Unfortunately, what happened to those mice is they got old. They got premature aging. You lost the stem cells, the muscle satellite cells, and the inability to maintain that mass was exacerbated.
Really?
So we don't know if that was a specific issue of SCI or the whole pathway, but I think it does raise questions of how hard you push the system. At, you know, and maybe this, you know, is a relevant point with steroid use and, you know, how much do you use the system and does it eventually run out?
Okay, so let's talk about that. So what did your group do in order to reverse the age-related osteopenia of the muscle in these mice?
Yeah, so we used various approaches to manipulate the signaling cascade that was FGF, and we found that we could either alter the FGF or alter the receptor signaling on the stem cell or alter an intracellular regulator in the stem cell that was sensitive to these FGFs. And in either any approach, if we repress that signaling, we maintain stem cell number, we enhance their ability to respond to stress, and then ultimately we think that will give you an ability to maintain the muscle over lifetime. There is a slight complexity, well, you know, it's quite a large complexity
right.
when we consider tissue repair. You know, we showed that you can maintain the stem cells for longer and a better stem cell. But that is because you're biasing the stem cell to make more copies of itself.
Mm.
The downstream consequence of that can be that you don't make enough muscle.
Right.
And so what we observed is, again, to your description of this dosage issue,
right.
If we suppress the pathway too much, you get lots of stem cells, but your repair of the muscle is delayed. And we think that's actually related to each other. The stem cell is making a decision on what to do on its environment. What we think now we can do is titrate the dosage of these pathways to both maintain muscle function, repair, and maintain stem cell number.
Or even use a cyclical approach where you make a decision, okay, we're going to overexpress stem cells right now, but we're not going to affect muscle repair, then back off and let the stem cells then become deployed and functional myocytes.
That's right. So you know, with that strategy, I mean, I think, you know, what the data and Joe's work demonstrated was that keeping the cells quiet when they should be resting is where you'd gain the most benefit. So, you know, again, any drug has a limited lifetime of activity. So that works in favor of that sort of approach. You'd be taking it on your rest days, if you like. And then, you know, when you're priming for a workout or activity or a repair bout, if you know you're going in for surgery, that's when you'd come off those drugs.
Okay, so let's talk about how did you suppress fibroblast growth factor? Did you use an existing pharmacological approach, or did you have to come up with some special approach?
No, we used all the reagents were commonly available. So one approach was to directly block using an antibody that blocks FGF2. So that, in theory, would compete with the FGF2 that's in the environment and prevent it from binding to the cell.
Okay.
We also used a pharmacological inhibitor which can bind to the receptor and also the conformation of that receptor and prevent the FGF binding. So those
okay,
two
okay.
are
now,
commonly
that particular
available.
Drug, is that particular drug something that's used in oncology?
It is. Yeah, so it's gaining credibility. You know, FGFs have been shown to be increased during cancer.
Right.
And, you know, there's always this attractive link with cancer and aging. And so the idea being that, yes, some of these drugs now are being tested.
Which drug was it that you used that actually blocked the FGF that's an
So we used a product called, it's called SU5402.
Okay.
And its high affinity is for an FGF receptor. It also has some off-target effects. Minor at the doses we used. And that sort of pathway has been used to, repression of that pathway has been shown to prevent cancer and tumor form.
Does the body possess an existing protein peptide that mm-hmm. competes for the FGF2 receptor by itself without any type of exogenous intervention?
Right. So that's a great question. There aren't any many soluble sort of FGF inhibitors. What we know of is the cell makes its own endogenous inhibitors.
Hmm.
And so, for example, in response to changes in that ligand, the cell makes its own protection.
Interesting.
And so it has a nice way of balancing. If it sees too much signal, it'll go into protection mode and make its endogenous inhibitor. We were able to manipulate that endogenous inhibitor, but there are no present pharmacological approaches to do that. One of the things we'd really like to find is a pharmacological small molecule approach to manipulate the intracellular inhibitor of the stem cells.
Does exercise play into a homeostatic process or programming of muscle cells that promotes this natural regulation of fibroblast growth factor 2 and its stimulation of satellite stem cells?
Right. So in terms of the response to exercise, these growth factors and the stem cells do activate in response to those growth factors. You make many other growth factors as well during the response, and many other family members, which are important for normal regeneration and maintenance of repair. I think what we hope to do is find the most efficient targets where we could, or the most potent regulators of the aging dampened response. But I think, the idea we're working on is that the reason for the increased FGF2 is the damaged, partially damaged, weakened fiber. So one could imagine preventing the weakness may prevent the onset of this growth factor.
Mm.
Then we're looking at that sort of issue now.
So, yeah, so because you're basically
the body's ability to repair itself.
Yeah, you're basically upgrading the infrastructure, so to speak, and so the body responds differently to that.
That's great, yes.
Interesting. We're going a little long here. I'm going to go ahead and take a break now. When we come back, I'd like to talk about more of what you discovered and what maybe surprised you the most. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack from the Harvard Stem Cell Institute about reversing the aging of muscles. Very, very interesting topic. Later in the show, Adele Musa will join me all the way from Munster, Germany, to perform the sniff test on today's science in the Subversity Science Roundup. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits, turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, long longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell Institute about effectively reversing the aging of muscle. Very, very important topic. Okay, I want to recap something before we move forward. So counterintuitively, suppressing FGF2 increases the production of new muscle stem cells. Correct?
It really in the response to injury, it allows you to make more stem cells. Or in resting periods, it allows you to maintain the existing stem cells.
Okay. We've talked about the phenomenon of hyperplasia on this show as opposed to hypertrophy as it relates to the new creation of new muscle fibers.
Yes.
Okay. Are we talking about hyperplasia now as well? And what ends up, I mean, as far as the end result, once we have more stem cells and then we let them go into the phase where they're deployed, is this hyperplasia, right?
Right. So you know, if you do in response to an injury or extensive workout, the existing fibers are partially destroyed, if you like, to make a healthier, newer, better, stronger muscle. So when that reformation occurs, you've got two choices. You can either make a whole new fiber, you can add differentiated myocytes to the existing fiber, or you can make a whole new fiber. We see little evidence of hyperplasia in the adult when you manipulate these pathways. We find that you don't find more new fibers in total. So the number of fibers tend to exist that you had before your extensive injury bout. What we find is that they're bigger.
Ah.
And it's a really hypertrophy response.
Okay.
But again, I don't think you could, you know, you should never say never. Maybe there are systems that you could use or that the cell finds itself in where it will make a new fiber. In terms of force production, though, you know, force is made proportional to the surface area of that muscle fiber.
Right.
So you are at an advantage to make bigger fibers rather than more small. So we think hypertrophy is going to be a favorable outcome.
Now,
see hyperplasia in certain contexts.
Did you look at the contractile force of these muscles once they underwent the therapy, if you will, and their muscle size increased?
Unfortunately, we never did that in those studies. It's certainly something we want to address because obviously it is important that they're functionally better.
Okay. Did you look at any upstream hormonal milieus other than growth factors, more traditional hormones like testosterone, DHT, and the like?
We didn't in those studies. Other people have done that sort of work, and I think the data is becoming more clear that things like testosterone tend to decrease. So I don't think there's going to be any surprises in that data. You know, we think that those important hormones are decreasing and will likely participate in the impaired regenerative response.
Did you look at the roles of mTOR or protein kinase or any of those other factors when looking at the effects of suppressing or the overproduction of FGF2?
We didn't. I mean, I think, you know, this really was focused on this one particular pathway.
Right.
And I think why that was this the novelty that this, what is assumed to be a beneficial pathway during normal development and growth, was actually turning on and turning out to be a detrimental factor. So that's what really caught our attention on this and where we really tried to focus down onto this pathway. But, you know, the mTOR is definitely an important molecular player in stem cell biology. Most of its work in other stem cells has shown it regulates this kind of ability of a stem cell to renew itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we could imagine it playing a role in the demise of the aged stem cell. The mTOR pathway has also been shown to play a role in protein synthesis and likely important for muscle maintenance and the ability to either muscle grow or to prevent atrophy. And I think these things are linked. I think you need to have coordination. You don't want an excess number of stem cells if you don't have the tissue that they need to support.
Uh-huh.
And vice versa, if you have lots of muscle, you do want the stem cells who govern the tissue to be there in an adequate supply. So I can imagine these systems are coordinated. Maintenance of tissue, maintenance of stem cell.
What about
an mTOR could be one of those. One of the mTOR pathway could be that sort of playing a dual role.
Does FGF suppression and or overproduction and its downstream effects on muscle play any role on mitochondrial biogenesis? We know that hard training athletes tend to have more mitochondria per cell as a result of the intense workouts. Does the mitochondria play any significant role in this?
Well, we don't know about the FGF induction of mitochondria or energy metabolism directly. My gut feeling would say there's unlikely to be a role there, but I think obviously there are changes in mitochondria both during aging and during exercise. So there will be mitochondrial changes in these muscles. Whether there's an improvement of that, it's likely, I think, to be indirect.
Uh-huh.
But we certainly didn't check.
So I have to ask you, because this is so counterintuitive, this is so against the grain that one would think that it's a lack of FGF leads to osteopenia. Here we see that it's an over-exacerbation of production that actually kind of burns things out. Who stumbled on this that said, hey, we need to produce, we need to design a study to examine this further?
Yeah, you're right. It was very surprising to us. You know, the history in the lab, if you like, is we get excited about things that are unexpected. We also kind of have a very cynical eye over these things. So my postdoc came to me one day and said, we have this result that these stem cells in the aged muscle seem to be responding. We quickly argued, and this is not possible, heresy, et cetera. He went back and proved the result again and again. And we just went from there. We found that, and then we started searching for factors, growth factors that may be causing this increased stem cell activation. So it really was, I think just the adrenaline started going when we found something very surprising and really we dug our teeth into it.
Does the nervous system play any role? Or is it culpable in this process because of the tonic state of muscle and how that changes as we age, the innervation of muscle itself? You think that plays a role in the muscles thinking they're under a traumatic event all the time, and this exacerbated response of FGF2 is then enlisted?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I would imagine yes. We know, you know, quite well that the aged muscle has this partially deinnervated state. So it's as though the nerve is not firing or connected properly to the aged muscle. And we know if we do experiments on young mice where we partially remove the nerve or remove nerve activity, that the stem cells activate. Mm-hmm. So the phenotype, the result we see in the aged mouse, you could explain to partial loss of nerve function or nerve activity. You know, a great experiment which we'd be wanting to do is to really reapply innovation to the aged mice and see if this can be reversed.
Mm.
So yeah, I think you're absolutely on the right target.
See, and this is, you know, I'm kind of a guy with a cannonball and a cannon in a world of lasers, and I keep coming back to, you know, if we could, I argue the idea that. I say that we lose our vitality because we slow down. We don't slow down because we lose vitality. And, right. You know, if more people would just do load-bearing exercises, mm-hmm. that has been shown to increase nerve innervation into muscles, and that causes the deployment of new satellite cells, and it causes the firing of late responder fibers, you know, that typically aren't enlisted in the average day-to-day thing. And I have to believe that in and of itself would reverse this cascade that leads to osteopenia. But the problem is, try to get somebody out of their chair and convince them to do uncomfortable load-bearing exercises.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the data is absolutely compelling that load-bearing exercise will prevent many of the bad things that happen during aging. It's convincing someone to do it. And that's why I think there's a multi-billion dollar industry in finding drugs so that people don't have to exercise.
Right. But that is so sad.
Definitely there's feedback from the fiber, from the muscle, to the nerve. Keeping those muscle fibers strong and healthy will help nerve and then feedback again on the muscle itself. Interestingly, in your point where, you know, the rarely recruited fibers, these are the strongest fibers, and these are the fibers that are lost during aging. So this is, you know, a reason why people, even if they work out, don't have as much strength. Harnessing those fibers through to heavy load training will keep strength and vitality.
There's one modality of training. We have to take a break. There's one modality of training. Mm-hmm. That is especially effective at enlisting those late responders, and that is static contraction under load, and I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
Instead of taking a weight through a full range of motion, say a bicep curl, taking it from the arm completely extended to the arm at a 45 degree or parallel to the floor, mm-hmm. and then back down again and pumping away on the bicep, instead, take it to that 45-degree angle and hold it. And what you will notice is a phenomenon where the muscle starts to oscillate and you start to vibrate. You feel like you're weakening and your body starts to quiver. And it was told to me by a neurologist many, many years ago that quivering is muscle fibers giving out and other muscle fibers that were not engaged in the process jumping in to keep the muscle integrity where it is. And so you have this oscillation of muscle, new fibers firing and weak and exhausted fibers backing out of the process. Those simple things, getting elderly people to just do static contraction movements,
yes.
will enlist those late responder fibers that you said are so easily lost with age.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great suggestion. I wasn't aware of that level of understanding in that sort of exercise, but certainly, you know, having that communication between the nerve and the muscle is going to be vital.
Yeah,
I think one of the biggest problems we have, you know, the aging population is when people fall and get sick and they go into hospital.
Yes.
And just leads to this vicious cycle.
Yes.
Of and so things like static exercise or electrical stimulation are things that people can do in bed.
But the work that you're doing, the drugs that you're discovering and that will be discovered from your work, will be used as rescues, so you can get a person to a point where they're no longer a muscular cripple, and then they can start exercising. My fear is, and actually my sadness is, that it's so hard to get people to understand the vital role of physical exertion on a day-in and day-out basis, but instead they'll take a pill so that they can avoid that. And that makes me sad. I'd rather see them use this technology that you're working on as a modality of rescuing a person, making them ambulatory, and then saying to them, now you have to work. So, okay. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap it up. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell Institute about reversing muscle aging. Really great subject, great interview. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly antibiotic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin. R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Two of H4 Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, the aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Iron Mag Labs is introducing their new Pyro RX. Increased mental focus, thermogenesis, extreme energy, promotes lipolysis, suppresses appetite, increases metabolism, and enhances mood. Check it out. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Brack about his group working on reversing the aging of muscles. It's a very, very important discussion. This is very important for women, too. I've said this ad infinitum. Men die first. Women live longer. But women tend to be institutionalized because after two or three falls, the kids go, Mom, you can't live by yourself anymore. So maintaining your ability to be ambulatory allows you to maintain your security and independence. And women need to get the message. Men tend to be stronger, so we get it a lot easier. I mean, getting strong, you need to work harder at it. Women need to be doing more load-bearing exercises every single day. Don't think it's just a man thing, and you won't get big and bulky. You can't get big and bulky. You don't have enough testosterone in your body to get big and bulky, okay? But women need to get this message, too, because maintaining muscle also, interestingly enough, is a signal to bone mineral uptake. The stronger your muscles are, the body upregulates the chassis. So as your muscles wither away, the body goes, oh, we don't need that strong of a bone any longer. Let's give up some of that calcium and magnesium and boron and everything else and let those muscles be, let those bones be thinner and more fragile. So muscle is part of the cascade to osteoporosis as well. What do you say about all that nonsense I just said?
Well, there's a lot to take in, but I think it's, funny enough, I just had a new baby boy, so my wife's at home and never having enough time to get back to the gym. And so absolutely I can tell you, there's a society issue where men, it's find easier to go to the gym. I think we're making great strides on making, for women's only gyms, but I think the message is not quite out, and it's just difficult to make time to get to the gym and also educate people on how important it is to go and work out and be in pain for an hour, and it's going to do benefits in 40, 50 years down the road. So the education is one thing, and we need to do a better job of that as a society. The issue with muscle and bone and osteoporosis, there's some great work now showing that if you start affecting the gene transcription regulation of muscle, it does have an impact on bone. And so, osteoporosis can be reduced by maintaining muscle mass and strength. I think your overall, theme of muscle is affecting more, is an important organ affecting multiple tissues, is just going to become more and more obvious as we go along. Part of the link with aging, you've got osteoporosis. Muscular dystrophy itself, a disease, a terrible disease state which impacts the lives of young boys. We do believe that targeting the stem cells can really benefit the quality of life of those young boys. And we think the molecular players that we've identified in the lab, such as these inhibitors of FGFs, have found now that we can maintain the stem cell function in dystrophic muscle. So we think that overall the same pathways are going to be used. If you can maintain stem cell function and regenerative capacity, you will be able to treat diseases like dystrophy. You will be able to delay aging and also maybe the onset of osteoporosis.
Is there a dystrophic transgenic mouse or rat line right now that you guys are planning on taking a shot with?
Oh, yeah. So we use one currently. It's a commonly used available transgenic line where the mouse doesn't have the dystrophin protein, which is the missing protein in the humans. The phenotype of the mouse is somewhat milder than the human disease, which for us is perfect because it allows us to study the temporal changes mm-hmm. and really get in to see the chicken and the egg.
Right.
And what we see when we make our FGF inhibitor in the stem cells, when you get disease progression, but you maintain stem cells and the muscle is stronger and bigger than the muscular dystrophy mouse that wasn't treated.
Mm.
So we think there's similar pathways that are used reiteratively in all these contexts, whether it's aging or dystrophy, that if you can dial down, you will modulate the muscle response.
Very interesting. Okay, what were you most surprised at in this research that you folks did? Obviously, the discovery that the overproduction of FGF was leading to exacerbation of stem cell wearing out, so to speak. But was there anything else that when you guys got into it, you said, wow, this is really amazing?
Yeah. So I think one of our the eyes we always have to keep our eye on is that aging is complicated, and the body has a way of adapting and responding to any change. So work that I was involved in during my postdoctoral training in Tom Rando's lab, Tom Rando showed that the systemic environment of the old animal dampens the stem cell response. So there are factors that are produced, that circulate in the aged organism, that are detrimental to stem cell function and muscle repair. And so so that was almost an inhibitory effect that would dampen on the cell. What we found and was surprising to us is that the microenvironment of that stem cell is acting in the exact opposite way. And so what we think is there's almost a yin and yang relationship between the microenvironment and the macroenvironment. The stem cell sees both. And what happens in the normal daily wear, normal response, is that the microenvironment is playing the major role. And really that's an immediate contact to the stem cell, and that's what governs the response. But when you go into a repair mode, the systemic environment really takes charge and really governs the stem cell response then. So it's quite a complicated biology. But what we think is, A, it's complex, but B, we have two different avenues to really modulate stem cell response,
uh-huh.
both through the local environment, the muscle, and through the injections into the circulatory system. We can also get at the stem cells. And so that was that this idea of yin and yang was a very surprising result. We thought everything would be bad. You know, aging is bad, and it's all just a catastrophic coming to an end. So that was the most surprising thing to us.
Yeah. Very, very cool stuff you guys are doing over there. I applaud you. And you know, I've talked about the fact that the medical orthodoxy doesn't pay enough attention to the importance of muscle. They think that muscle is some sort of novelty you don't really need it.
Yeah, a non-essential organ.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the way BMI is used to assess whether or not people are of a healthy weight, you know, what your effect on a scale as a result of gravity on your body means nothing. I am, according to BMI, I am obese at 6'2 mm-hmm. and 238 pounds, but I'm probably about 13 or 14% body fat.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not going to try to meet some BMI, you know, and I'm waiting for doctors to get it. We already have, there's plenty of studies out there that show that strength equals longevity. The strongest people live the longest. There's so many good studies out there that were done, longitudinal studies over the course of 40 years on a large number of subjects. And we know this. So I'm just waiting for doctors to say, hey, you know what? It's not important how much you weigh. It's how much lean body mass you carry.
That's right. I mean, sometimes, you know, I think people are stuck in a weight. You know, doctors have to treat. And so is treating a person, tell them to go away and go to the gym? Or is it trying to give them a medicine and something else? So I think we're caught in a system where it's difficult. It's not the obvious, easiest answer to say go to the gym and work out.
Yeah.
I think with an intervention where education from schools, I mean, the children, you know, I think we've got to start educating children to say you've got to make exercise a part of your daily life.
I agree.
There's quite good data saying that those who exercise when they're younger will exercise when they're older.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the motivation is there. But you're right, it's a difficult thing to tackle.
Dr. Brack, thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Take care. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Adele Musa on the line with us to perform the Subversity Sniff Test on Science in the News. Get the truth here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Who do you think you are?
Master Ace.
Fixed up, fixed up.
Head.
You're never gonna get my love.
Then they take a loss to the master, and I
give you my love.
Then they take a loss to the master, and I
give you my love. Give you my love.
Then they take a loss to the master, and I
give you my love.
Take a loss to the master, and I throw crazy blows, and they know.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's the Subversity Sniff Test with Adele Musa. Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup. How you doing, Adele?
Well, back on the show. I've been missing the show last week, but of course it was Elisa's birthday, and I hope she got my best wishes and or read it at least in the blog post of Adele last Thursday. But I don't know, even if she didn't, she knows that I've thought about her.
Okay, and I will remind her of that. She may not have seen that. We've been so busy with so many different things, so I'll definitely let her know that. So, Adele, we just had a discussion with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell, and they're talking about influencing old muscles to become young by affecting FGF2 that increases protein synthetic response and deployment of new stem cells. One of the discussions we always have when we talk about protein synthetic response to exercise brings us back to nutritional interventions, more importantly, the consumption of protein and how that affects the creation of new muscle. There's a lot of discussion out there of different ways. Should you be eating smaller amounts of protein throughout the day, larger amounts of protein in large boluses? But you have some new research, right?
Yeah, exactly. 2 days ago, a new study, or at least a short communication, as those mini papers are called, has been published. And the exact research design was, or the intention of the researchers was exactly to find out which way of protein supplementation over a 12-hour window would create the most anabolic response after a workout. So we already know that you can elicit almost equal results by ingesting a large amount of slow-digesting protein like casein before a workout, or by supplementing with a faster-digesting protein like whey protein after a workout. And I think nobody will really be debating that this is something every trainee should incorporate into his supplementation regimen. But there is still much debate about how you should spread, or rather you should spread your protein intake across the rest of the day. And it's quite intriguing that for some time we have now been convinced that one of the most important things is that you pass this critical baseline of 20 grams of high-quality protein, or at least 10 grams of essential amino acids, in order to really kickstart the protein synthetic machinery.
Well, and more specifically, which was imposed by Dr. Scott Connolly, he keeps talking about the requisite amount of leucine, which he appears to be 3 grams. So his attitude is, as long as there's 3 grams of leucine, regardless of how many grams of protein get you there, that's where the magic is.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately not the case. Because this has, especially in elderly individuals, this is not sufficient. We have already seen studies where they try to pimp up lower amounts of protein with additional leucine, specifically in order to prevent the muscle loss in elderly individuals, and this alone did not work. It may work in somebody who is already consuming a relatively high protein diet,
right,
and who is still young, but in older folks it's not just about leucine. And I think this is really quite misleading, the overemphasis that is currently put on leucine. For example, if you just ingest BCAAs all day, what protein shall be used to actually build the tissues? And what's also interesting with respect to the study at hand is that in this case they did not infuse a certain tracer and measured what goes into the muscle, but they really measured the overall protein retention for the whole body. And this is something that is often overlooked, is that especially if you ingest larger amounts, much of the protein is not really used to accumulate protein in the muscle tissue, but it is used for energy purposes,
right,
especially if the diet is low on other nutrients, which have to be replaced then, especially glucose has to be replaced then by gluconeogenesis in the liver. And much of the protein, in fact, this may be an advantage of BCAAs because they won't be catabolized by the liver before they hit the bloodstream. But the rest of the protein will be used by the liver and the splenic bed before it even reaches your muscle when you're energy deprived, for example. So there are very many confounding variables. And one thing I have to say in advance is that this study protocol was also sort of artificial, because they really wanted to isolate the effect of whey protein ingestion in different ways. And they particularly tested whether two meals or two servings of 40 grams of whey, 4 servings of 20 grams of whey, or 8 servings of 10 grams of whey would be the optimal way to spread 80 grams of protein total after a workout to elicit the greatest net protein retention. And again, this is net protein retention for the whole body, not just for muscle tissue. And what they found was that, A, there are differences that are detectable, but none of these differences actually reached the statistical significance. That means when the scientists calculated the effect sizes, they saw differences, but those differences were not statistically significant. Now, the study was just this one testing protocol, and so this obviously reduces the statistical power in as much as the study size or the number of the subjects. But still, if you look at the actual figures, you will realize that you have an optimal strategy, and this strategy would be to ingest 4 times 20 grams of whey. But the advantage of this strategy is not so large that you could say that everything else is a waste of time. And especially if you think about the real world, you won't just ingest whey protein after a workout and don't eat anything else. And when all those confounding factors come into play, and maybe you tweak your routine somewhat by, for example, adding casein to the large bolus of 2 times 40 grams of whey in order to extend the time you have an abundance of amino acids floating around in your bloodstream by combining a fast and a slow digesting protein, things could already look much different.
Right.
So the results of the study are very interesting, and the study is also it's a well-conducted study, and you cannot really cannot expect the answer, which is the optimal feeding strategy, from just one of these studies. And therefore, it would be unfair to say, why haven't you tested this or haven't you tested that, and this is useless for us. It actually gives us a better idea of how exactly the amount and the frequency of protein interact. And it appears to be, on the one hand, disadvantages to spread your protein in just 2 meals across a 12-hour period. On the other hand, the inferiority in terms of total nitrogen retention of the 8 times 10 grams regimen suggests that there is still something about this magical 20 grams, which will, at least this is what the scientists speculate, and I would agree with that, that those 20 grams are really necessary to ensure that the protein synthesis actually is activated to a higher degree, so that the amino acid flux is actually diverted to the muscle,
because
and
you,
is not
because you have to have you, in, you have to have some form of expendable protein, because the body is going to preferentially use protein as a substrate first for the more important function of running the body, and then whatever's left, it'll say, well, you can use that to build muscle.
Exactly, yeah. So, and this is what comes across pretty clearly, because if you look at the actual data, it's interesting that the protein synthesis is the greatest in the 8 times 10 grams study or arm of the study, but at the same time, the breakdown is also much more pronounced. So that the net protein retention is slightly lower than in the 4 times 20 grams trial, the intermediate trial of these three regimens, so to say. And I think this is something that's often overlooked, that synthesis and breakdown and oxidation, they all go somewhat hand in hand. You have the term protein turnover, which includes both. In essence, the more protein you consume, the faster the turnover, the greater the turnover will be. And your body is an adaptive machine, and it's, in a way, it's our strength that we can use all three nutrients to produce energy from it. And whenever our body needs energy, it will start with the ones that appear to be abundant. And if you are feeding on smaller amounts of protein all through the day, it's more likely that your body will consider amino acids to be abundant than, as in this case, the other nutrients which were, at least if I read the paper correctly, absent.
Interesting. Now,
and,
go ahead, I'm
well,
sorry.
Maybe to put things into perspective, I've posted this, I think, at about 1 hour ago, and maybe 5 to 10 minutes later, I had a very smart response from Stephen Acero, who said that long-term studies would not prove the superiority of this approach. And he's correct, and we really didn't see any. There are a couple of long-term studies comparing different feeding regimen, none that would compare exactly those protocols here. But the differences are not statistically significant in these long-term studies. And my answer to this very smart reply was actually that if you do the math, so if you plug in the real numbers in terms of how much more protein was stored, which is on a 12-hour basis 0.02 grams per kilo of body weight. So this means that if we assume that for the rest of the 24 hours, the other 12 hours in the day, all groups had a similar protein breakdown and protein synthesis, which is obviously not correct. We would have to measure that as well. But if we just assume that and say on a day-to-day basis, the optimal feeding strategy in this particular study, which is the 4 times 20 gram strategy, would yield 1.6 gram of net protein retention in those 80 kilo athletes per day, then this would sum up in what would be a real long-term study already, a 12-week study, to a difference of 134.4 grams. And this is whole-body nitrogen retention and not the nitrogen retention that's exclusively going into muscular tissue. So this is something you just cannot measure in a study like that. And even if you ran the study for a whole year, you would have roughly 584 grams of an advantage of the optimal strategy. And I think this tells you very much about optimal feeding strategies and their importance compared, for example, to optimal training routines, which is, I suppose, an area where most trainees lack much more, or where most trainees rather fail than in terms of their supplementation regimens.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to further this discussion about diet. Since we're talking about dietary, let's talk about dietary nitrate supplementation when we come back. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, you're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adele Moussa brilliantly applies the Subversity sniff test to science and the news. If you want to be the smartest kid on your block, go to subversity.com today, SUPPVERSITY.com. You'll amaze your friends. Your mom will say, oh, my God, you're so smart. I never knew that about you. Read Subversity every day. We'll be right back. Galvanize. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan-2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily
deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the superhuman nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day. And sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders and in minutes I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Woo! Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adel Moussa and his affable sidekick, Carl Lenore. Okay, I provide comic relief. Nitrates, they get a bad rap, don't they, Adel?
In a way they do, because most people are sort of disappointed of the results they are seeing. I don't know what people expect to see. The initial marketing as NO supplements failed you, now nitrates will deliver all that you have been promised before, was a bit too much, because it is quite obvious that there are more factors than just the availability of nitrate in order to really produce nitric oxide. For example, one of the most of the best stimuli is actually insulin. So if you don't have any insulin floating around, you won't get those skin-bursting pumps. On the other hand, you also won't get the negative side effects of too much nitric oxide in the wrong places, such as your brain, because nitric oxide is not exactly only benign or only good. It has an ugly and a very nice face, and its physiological function is certainly not to give you the pump of your life. And in this direction, actually, is the researchers at the Kansas State University also went into this direction, actually, when they tried to find out what exactly will happen inside the muscle tissue of in this case, unfortunately, rodents, when they would supplement them with a highly significant amount of nitrate for a consecutive period of 5 days. So, there are a few things I should mention here that are different from, for example, from a recent human trial, which appeared to be pretty disappointing. I think people will maybe remember that the initial studies did not really talk about pump, but they mainly talked about increases in performance. And most of them were actually done in rookies or untrained individuals. And then people realized, oh, this supplement really has some potential. We could use it for really high-class athletes, and they could get even better. And most of those trials did either not come up to the expectations and elicited only minor gains in performance, or people did not even observe any changes. And so it is actually quite the right thing to do, to go back to the drawing board and to look closer at what happens at the tissue level. And unfortunately for the rodents, fortunately for us, they don't really complain when we are cutting them open and looking at things. And therefore, those rodent studies are necessary in order to really elucidate what's happening on the muscular level. And in this study, the rodents received for 5 days an amount of nitrate that would be present in a whole liter of beetroot juice every day. If you compare that to the other human trial I just mentioned, which concluded that in trained athletes, nitrate supplementation did not even increase the nitric oxide that's present in the blood, then this is already twice the amount that was used in this study. And what's even more, and I think this may also be more important, it was not just administered for the test, the actual test was done, but was administered chronically. So these are differences one has always to keep in mind, and also this is also important that you really know how to use a supplement in order to make it work. For example, you are ill-advised in taking a pre-workout supplement immediately pre-workout. Because once you're starting to work out, in the very moment, your digestion slows down
right.
or stops together. Mm. And many of those compounds have to be present in the bloodstream for some time. Even caffeine starts to kick in after 45 minutes, or peaks after 45 minutes after ingestion. So a pre-workout supplement is nothing you take pre-workout as literally pre-workout, but rather 40 minutes at least before your workout. So all these minuscule parameters are of importance, and in this study it is therefore not really surprising that, contrary to what you may have heard as of late, namely that the administration of nitrate would not improve the vascularity of the skeletal muscle, there was in fact a quite impressive increase in vascularity and in blood flow, and this is exactly what the supplements are promising. So you should reconsider whether it's not maybe possible that either you're not taking the right dose or not taking it for a long enough time.
Right, or ahead of time, you mean. Not taking it ahead of time early enough before going in and working out.
Yeah, first of all, this, of course. And it is also likely that you have to take it maybe for a couple of days until you reach a steady level to see a benefit.
Ah.
On the other hand, a very intriguing and actually could also possible argumentation is that in trained athletes, the blood flow is already maximized and the body is not really interested in increasing it further by vasodilation and vasodilation. And so the supplements won't work in the same way in somebody who is trained as they will work in somebody who is not trained. So this is another confounding factor. But the study, this particular rodent study, is also interesting because it shows that this effect is very tissue-dependent or muscle-type dependent and occurs almost exclusively in the fast type 2 muscles. And if you look at the other trial I mentioned before, that was, I think in this case, it was a cycling trial, and we have seen similar disappointing results in rowers. And obviously all those are endurance exercises and don't really rely heavily on those type 2B muscle fibers, which would be involved, of course, in strength training. So you also have to keep in mind which group of athletes and which type of sports you're talking about in order to say this supplement is beneficial or this supplement isn't.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about nitrates. And those of you who are new to nitrates are thinking about sodium nitrates in bacon and processed meats and thinking, why are these guys talking about nitrates? It's the sodium nitrate that is the problem. It's not the nitrate. So just, let's get past that for a second. Okay, now. Nitrates do have some confounding side effects from time to time. And people who have heart valve issues, they quite often can come to the forefront when vascular pressures drop as a result of nitrate.
Yeah.
And also, What about the problems with its effect on the brain? Were these seen in any of the rats, or did they just exclusively look at just ergogenic effects?
No, they didn't measure that. But in previous trials, they tried to find out whether this type of supplementation regimen, which is obviously very different from taking the nitrates people with heart disease take, because they are designed to work to exert maximal effects in very short term of, in a very short time frame in order to really save people's life. And therefore, they are much more prone to producing side effects like passing out due to low blood pressure. Unfortunately,
right.
Some bodybuilders also have gotten wind of this effect and try to use these medications in order to achieve a greater vascularity before a show, for example. And there have actually been case reports of bodybuilders who collapsed because of low blood pressure due to taking these medications. And I would strongly caution against doing that. But in the case of beetroot juice, the danger appears to be relatively low.
Could I take a pint of beetroot juice every single day as an ergogenic aid with minimal concern, you think?
On the one hand, we don't have enough data to say that it's safe infinitely. On the other hand, for a short time of period, I would say certainly. And I would also question whether it makes sense to do just that for longer than a certain time of period, because we all know that our bodies usually adapt and return to a certain happy medium, you could say. And if you are unlucky, your body gets so used to those nitrates that you will, once you go off the higher mode of nitrates, you could have at least an episode of slightly elevated blood pressure in response to that, because you have created a new steady state, so to say, if you will. It's like it's like with everything, you artificially change in your body for a certain period of time until adaptation occurs. Then it's not just reverting back within days once you drop it.
And,
for example,
and
we all know those caffeine withdrawal headaches, which
right.
are actually a consequence of your brain being adapted to the narrowing effect of caffeine on the vasculature,
right.
and then trying to expand the vasculature in the brain, which will result in headaches when there's no caffeine to correct this effect.
Right. And I wonder, not to talk about the ergogenic effects, but obviously phosphodiesterase inhibitors are all the rage now amongst men who don't even have erectile dysfunction just because they feel it makes them perform even better. I wonder if beet juice has an acute effect before lovemaking.
I would say it's not impossible, certainly not impossible. And beetroot juice should actually contain also a significant amount of betaine, which has also been implicated as a potential ergogenic. And it's also, the name says it all, it's trimethylglycine.
Right.
And it also figures in the methylation cycle and is a methyl donor. So in this case, this could also be an argument in favor of going the natural route, consuming beetroot juice, because it provides you with other nutrients.
Yeah.
And I don't think that any of these things will work like the blue pills before making love, but it could, for example, if you consume it on a longer time scale, there is even for regular L-arginine a significant evidence that in certain types of erectile dysfunction, this can provide great relief.
Right, right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Adel Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adel Moussa applies the Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. And you can learn more about Adel's blog by visiting it, Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com, and make your brain bigger. We'll be right back.
That's right. people who are looking for performance and health benefits, turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Bradley's on the microphone with Ross MG. All people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified.
Welcome back. Okay. I just got a message from somebody saying that they're confused about our last discussion and asking me if it's safe to eat bacon with nitrates. And I'm going to say this for everybody out there. And I tried to inject this earlier in the discussion. I knew that once we started talking about nitrates, which are now becoming a big ergogenic segment. You have creatine nitrate. You have nitrated versions of a variety of different amino acids now. Nitrates are not bad. Nitrates are not the problem with bacon. The problem is sodium nitrate. The sodium nitrate, which the body has a very, very difficult time clearing from the system as opposed to just pure old NaCl, sodium. So when we talk about nitrates, you must separate the sodium from the nitrate. Yes, sodium nitrate does have some problems, but we're not suggesting that people take sodium nitrate as an ergogenic aid. And quite frankly, sodium nitrate does have some ergogenic effects as well. In the production of nitric oxide, but it's not the right nitrate to use. Adele, you want to chime in on my statements?
The one thing you could add is that the particular problem with sodium nitrate is the high rate of conversion into the toxic nitrite. And this is actually the real problem. And often people don't even know that there is a difference between the two. And then come with studies citing side effects or the cancer effects of nitrites or nitrites. I don't really know.
Nitrites, right?
Yeah. Okay. That are actually not really the same side effects because they are not identical molecules as nitrates. So it's really difficult to distinguish between those two. And in fact, the common practice of conserving bacon with sodium nitrate can in fact be one of the reasons that the consumption of certain, especially pork meat, is really associated with an increased cancer risk.
Right.
Or it can be one of the factors, let's say so.
Yeah, so sodium nitrates and sodium nitrites, no good. We're not talking about those. We're talking about nitrates, pure nitrates, in the form of, in this case, beetroot juice as an ergogenic aid. Now, since we're invoking the nutritional discussion, we just talked about bacon and sodium nitrate, let's go on to something for the ladies out there. Breast cancer. It's got many women rattling in their boots. Talk about some recent research on breast cancer, Adele.
Well, there's been published just a few days ago a study coming from Taiwan, and it's published in the Journal of Women and Health, and it investigated the relations of perceived stress and lifestyle to breast cancer. And I think this is very intriguing because people sometimes get the notion that you either get breast cancer or you don't, and maybe you can make it even worse if you smoke. But The main point of the study is actually that there is a baseline risk increase if you feel stressed. They ask the women, do you feel stressed or do you have any perceived stress, so to say? And those women, they compared women with breast cancer to a matched control group and found that the odds ratio, that is a measure of how your risk is to get breast cancer, was 65% higher just from perceived stress low. And then the scientists went even a step further and investigated other lifestyle issues. And the two they identified that are individual factors contributing to the risk of having or getting breast cancer are the higher intake of fried and stir-fried foods, in other words, of fried vegetable oils, which increases your risk to develop cancer by 86%, so even more than the perceived stress. And this is just by the stir-fried foods. We are looking at the interrelations later. And what is even more intriguing, though, or at least I find this, is that an energy expenditure of less than 1,000 kilocalories of physical activity per week increases your risk of developing breast cancer by 170%. So your chances of getting breast cancer due to inactivity are two times higher, or the risk increase is two times by just being inactive. And 1,000 kilocalories of physical activity per week is not really much. If you break that down, this would be 120 calories per day, and this is about a brief walk in the park.
Right. But now imagine that, you know, and that's why when Dr. Brack was on the show, you know, I understand that his group is working to help people who have lost their ability to be ambulatory or have muscle wasting diseases, reverse those. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, maybe we'll have a pill someday for the people who don't want to exercise. And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't you want to exercise? There are so many other benefits other than staving off muscle loss. Perfect example. Reducing your risk of breast cancer, ladies. And it's not about Zumba. It's about really exerting yourself, turning on the mechanisms.
Even Zumba was efficient.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree.
It would do the job. And it is always, you always get to start somewhere. And my maxim is start somewhere where you really have fun and where you can stick to, or with the sports you can stick to.
Right.
Don't do something because it burns more calories than because A burns more calories than B. This is the most stupid way to start exercising.
Right.
And in this particular regard, that reminds me of another another news item that was actually in the news yesterday, that the Kaiser Permanente, which is actually a company, and I was quite surprised, but they are also lobbying, and in this case, they are exactly they are lobbying in a beneficial way, because they request that the new electronic patient records should have an obligatory section with information about physical activity.
I love it. I love
And the study at hand about breast cancer goes to show you how important that would actually be, because if a doctor saw that his female patient does not work out at all or does not even lead a normally active lifestyle, then this would be the first line of attack, of course.
Okay, now I want to go through these a little bit closer for a second. So let's look at the average woman. And let's forget about the United States. Let's look at Germany. Let's look at the UK. Let's look at the average 45-plus-year-old woman, possibly perimenopausal. Alcohol intake, just 11 grams or more per day, increases your risk by 190%. Smoking at least... What's that?
Just a brief reminder. These are now the interrelations. That means you are stressed and you are drinking.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, with stress. I apologize. And a lot of women who are drinking are stressed. That's why they're drinking, because they're self-medicating.
And they're smoking because they're stressed.
Yes, and smoking at least one cigarette per day adds to the stress risk to 152%. Intake of less than 100 milliliters of green tea per day adds makes it 147%. The lack of physical activity that Adele points out with stress, 236% risk of breast cancer. High fat, high fried and stir fried food intake, 318% risk of breast cancer when added to a high stress life. And lastly, high meat and seafood intake, only 89%. And I would argue that one. I would argue that one, because if you know where your food is coming from, if you're eating grass-fed beef that has a complementary ratio of pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory fats, it's not going to be as big of a problem. But the problem is most people eat conventional beef, which is 26 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3. It's completely pro-inflammatory. They don't know where their fish is coming from. It's garbage fish. So
this is a study from Asia, and I think everybody will have heard about not buying tilapia from Asia and the reasons for not doing this, because they are more toxins in the fish than fish, actually, way they are producing the fish. And on the other hand, even the traditional, quote-unquote, traditional dishes, meat and fish or seafood dishes, they are always fried.
So, well, we talked about it. We talked about on Casual Friday many, many, many months ago. Elisa talked about a study that showed that tilapia grown in Asia is actually raised in sewage pools where there's feces, and then you order it in a restaurant. It's encrusted with breadcrumbs, and you think you're eating a great meal, and you're eating a toxic lump there. That's what you're eating. So you're right. But anyway, the takeaway from this is, if you are under stress and you drink alcohol every day, and you smoke cigarettes, and you don't drink green tea, and you don't exercise, and you eat high degree of fried foods, you are a walking lab experiment for breast cancer. So take responsibility for your life and change your lifestyle, for crying out loud. Now, Adele, Elisa has some friends, and they were having a discussion the other night, and one of them said, "My mother and my sister both have breast cancer. It runs in my family. I am going to have radical mastectomy so that I never have to worry about getting breast cancer." And I thought that this was absurd. I think that this is like going to the dentist because your mother and your sister have had cavities and saying, "I want my tooth filled before there's a cavity," or having your appendix removed before you have an appendicitis. But I'm not a sensible person. I'm a zealot. So I'm asking you, do you think radical mastectomy is an acceptable prophylactic measure for a woman who is just concerned about getting breast cancer?
I would strongly discourage her of doing that. Also, if you just opened the latest news on the internet, you will have study after study showing And as of late, a very interesting twin study has been conducted, which clearly shows that the epigenetic factors are way more important than the real genetic factors in terms of whether your genes will actually have you develop breast cancer. And I think what people often overlook is that we are not just the genetical produce of our parents, but we are also the lifestyle produce or product of our parents. And lifestyle is not genetically inherited, but it's given from generation to generation. For example, if you have had a dad who has always been exercising and has taken you to the gym when you were young, or has, for example, supported you in your efforts in joining whatever sport you were interested in, then you will have been we will probably have been exercising for all your life. The same thing goes for you for the foods you eat and the foods you like. I know people whose parents never allowed them to go to McDonald's, and I also knew them when we were finally old enough to have our own money, not yet adults, but in puberty, and went out eating. And in fact, I knew a couple of them who really detested the food they got at McDonald's because they were not used to it and they never got hooked to it. So this is certainly not a really genetic factor only. And all these little things, they really make an important difference whether the genes that may be present, and I would strongly encourage her to get her genes even tested, because her aunt and maybe her grandmother had breast cancer, this does not mean that she has the same genetic disposition. And there is so much she can do about it. That getting the breast removed even before something definite has been detected, not even a little knot or something like that. To me, at least, this is
I'll tell you what the casualty of that is. When the Human Genome Project was run, one of the things that they looked at was the gene for breast cancer. They had about 65 women in a group, and of the 65 women, I think about 38 of them tested positive for the quote unquote breast cancer gene. And of those 30 plus women who tested positive, about 12 of them underwent radical mastectomy immediately after being released because they were being told by the doctors, you have the breast cancer gene. You're going to get breast cancer. You're going to get breast cancer. Read my lips, lady. You're going to get breast cancer. So these women thought, oh, I'm not going to wait to get breast cancer. I'm going to have my boobs lopped off now and be done with it. Well, of the women who didn't act so crazy and just sat and watched, only three of them developed breast cancer later on in life. The rest of them, who also had the genetics for breast cancer, did not. So that's why you have to, and here's what I would say to those ladies out there who have had mothers and sisters who have developed breast cancer. Look at the way your mother and sister eat. Look at their lifestyle. Do exactly the opposite. That's the epigenetic answer. So
it's not working in all cases, of course. But the protection a healthy lifestyle can offer is at least as potent as the negative bad, so to say, genes you were born with. And I think that for many people, we like to, in a way, sometimes I get the feeling that people like the idea of not being responsible for everything that happens
yes.
to them in their lives.
Yes, it's not my fault, it's my genetics. It's not my fault, I'm, you know, they found the fat gene. Well, it's not my fault I'm fat, it's my genetics. Baloney. Baloney.
May be the case that you are having a really hard time to ward off fat gain, and that you are also having a really hard time to lose body fat, but on the other hand, just surrendering to your fate doesn't make it better. And what in the case of obesity may be not so much of an option for most of the people, at least, because nobody wants to, the things won't be over when you surrender to your fat unless you eventually die from a metabolic syndrome. But in the case of breast cancer, the removal of the whole breast in advance, just because you are afraid that something could happen, appears to be a little radical to me. And in the last show, we talked about a similar phenomenon in men, where we as men are encouraged to get the prostate removed when the PSA test is high,
right,
or to get at least procedures which can render us infertile or and impotent, and often without any, with the result that there was nothing to worry about. You could say, well, now you're safe, but what is it about being safe or being sure that you don't have prostate cancer or being sure that you can't get breast cancer, which is, by the way, not the case, that that is totally impossible to get breast cancer when your breast cancer has been removed, especially if you already had one and that already metastasized in your body. So all those radical surgical interventions are real. You really have to think through the consequences. And even though the general perception is that it's very safe and there are always risks associated with them, you can even die from on the second operation. I suppose she's probably already considering to get the breast implant, and even that is not that safe as people are suggesting it is.
Yes. All right, let's do this. I want to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to cover a story that's all over the news already. You know, every time you turn around, somebody is talking about multivitamins. Well, there's a story all over the news right now promoting the potential benefits of multivitamins, but there's more to the story, as there always is. It doesn't reduce nicely to a small line or a sound bite, and that's why Adele Moussa goes to great pain in explaining everything. So you can make your own decisions. And you can learn more by going to Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Supversity Science Roundup.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustane RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a 2-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com today and
and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adel Moussa, author of Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. Adel has no dog in the fight. He only brings his brain. That's it. So, like what he says or not, it's all the truth. Now, right now in the mainstream media, you can't help it. They're talking about multivitamins again. What are they saying about multivitamins, first of all, Adel? But then let's tell the whole story. What are they saying right now?
That they have conducted the first real conclusive and large-scale intervention study, highly controlled, that yielded that multivitamins will save you. No, not that they will save your life, but that they were associated, and this is a very important word, with a lower incidence of cancer rates. And some reports I've seen also blow this up with all sorts of other benefits you would see. But I've just opened the actual journal article, which has been published ahead of print on the online version of JAMA, and I'm looking at the actual data, and there are exactly three statistical significant study outcomes which were beneficial. And this is the total cancer. And maybe I should mention first, this was a study that was done in 15,000 male physicians, older male physicians, and I don't know how well physicians in the U.S. Nurture themselves and how active they are, but based on what I've seen glimpsing at the actual data of being active, for example, the majority of them was not even considering themselves leading an active lifestyle. So this is just one of the confounding variables here, of course, which are equal or identical in both groups, and therefore, if you do this statistical shenanigan, people usually call as adjusting, this will not make a difference, because if both are inactive, then there is no difference. It does not make a difference if you calculate activity out or if you calculate intake of certain other foods or something like that out. And the outcome parameters that really differed was the total cancer rate, or the incidence of total cancer, was 8% lower, and the total incidence of epithelial cell cancer was also 8% lower. And what is quite intriguing, though, is if you subtracted the total cancer minus prostate cancer, you got a 12% decrease. So in other words, the number one cancer most men are afraid of, this was not reduced, or at least statistically significant reduced by taking this multivitamin. And now we're coming to the really important things about this study. You will read in none of the published press releases or copy and pasted press releases, which is what was in those supplements, or what was actually in those supplements. And I can even tell you the exact name of the supplement, because it was Centrum Silver. And Centrum Silver, at least according to what is said in the design section under methods in the study, it contains synthetic alpha-tocopherol in an amount of 400 IU, which is the standard amount you will find. Then it contains vitamin C, 500 milligrams, and it contains another of those great vitamins, which is beta-carotene. in the form of Lurotin, which is also, as far as I know, a synthetic version, which is produced by BASF, of course.
Right.
50 milligrams. So this is what they call a multivitamin, and I think nobody who will read the news will expect this to be a multivitamin. You will think of those products where you have 100% of everything in it, and some will even think of those products where you have 1,000% of everything in it that are currently still marketed to the athlete as being an absolute requirement without which you would die immediately if you don't take it religiously every day. So in this case, however, it's quite interesting that despite the disadvantages of the press releases, actually, at least the piece you can find, for example, at Science Daily, and I'm pretty sure that you will find very similar items, even not the exact same, because most of those large portals just copy and paste their articles from the databases. Because it's nice to have those quotations from scientists in them. And the lead designer or the lead scientist of the study mentioned in his comment, which is obviously at the very end of the article, where most people probably won't even get to, that the most intriguing finding of the study is that it stands in contrast to almost all the other data, where people were not, or scientists were not able to find any benefit, if not negative side effects of multiple vitamins or vitamin supplements in general. And what he says is that the main difference to their study was that their multivitamin supplement was very low dosed. And it was not only very low dosed, as it turns out, it was not really a multivitamin.
Right,
in the
it's not even a complete form. Yeah, not even a complete form of what would you call a multivitamin.
It was a classical supplement, which means you give your diet something that is lacking and not. You just replace all the natural vitamins you should consume in your diet by artificial stuff or even suppress the tolerable upper tolerable threshold, which is not something that is only possible with fat soluble vitamins, as we have heard in the last installment about folic acid. The other B vitamins also figure large in the methylation cycle and in turning genes on and off, and I think we will see much more about their effects in the future. And so I still believe that the notion of taking a multivitamin that is not supplementing but replacing or even surpassing what you would need is by definition illogical cannot be expected to yield benefits. It's a typical more is more mentality we are encountering all over the place these days.
Yeah. So applying the Supversity sniff test to this new press release about this study, are you feel that it's bunk or it's real?
The study is very real, and you can even assume that this particular population actually supplemented in the way I intended. I tried to hint at by providing nutrients, that is those three, vitamin C, 500 milligrams per day, a mediocre dose of vitamin E, which would, of course, have been better if it had been
natural for me.
And beta-carotene in a relatively low amount, which obviously beta-carotene has its effect, but it's not a replacement, a total replacement or a good total replacement for vitamin A. So the main message of the study is correct, and I don't think that it did not offer a sort of protection, although 8% is relatively low if you compare that what we have heard about breast cancer before of just being inactive. And you could have probably have had a decrease of, I don't know, maybe 30 or 50% cancer risk if the doctor suddenly started exercising or something like that.
Right.
But what the actual press release is, again, suggesting, is, or what people are understanding from the press release, is not the message of the study. And in this case, I'm really grateful for the scientists to actually mention that. What I really couldn't stand, however, was his last sentence, that of course it would be nice if people would consume all those vitamins and minerals and all the other stuff from their nutrition, but this is of course not feasible. No, and
he said, but this of course is not feasible.
He did not say this literally, but in a way he implied
it
when he said that, of course, it would be nice to see the same benefits from just real foods. But what he said was that we don't have enough studies on that, and it would be very difficult also to do these studies, which does, at least for me, imply that he believes that on the one hand, it's of course much more difficult to standardize dietary intake for vitamins and minerals than just to give somebody a pill. But on the other hand, it also furthers this impression that you cannot really get all your vitamins and minerals from nutrition. And this is, I think, what people still believe. And companies like Centrum make billions of dollars from this belief. And I'm actually surprised. Well, I'm not surprised because the study started years ago. And in those days, most of those multivitamins were actually not so complex with, I don't know how many ingredients, of which the producer even doesn't really know what they do.
Right.
Even if you look at the standard products this day, you have, from Centrum alone, you have, meanwhile, a specific multivitamin for each age group, for each sex, for each...
Yeah, for gender, right, exactly. Yeah. Everything, every reason. They have Centrum Prostate. They have Centrum just for men who are worried about prostate health. It's ridiculous. They have a Centrum for everything now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's like in the Middle Ages where you went to the church and made a payment if you were a sinner. You paid for your sin, and God would forgive you. In a way, it's the same today. You buy a supplement, and God will forgive you that you are not nurturing yourself and not working out, and will keep you on earth for a long time and a healthy life.
Yeah, exactly. Nonsense. We've come to the end of a very important show. This entire show has been fantastic, both the first hour with Dr. Andrew Brack from Harvard Stem Cell, and the second hour and 9 minutes with Adele Moussa, and the Subversity Roundup. It's always great to have Adele on the show, simply because he is such a wealth of knowledge, and he breaks everything down and does all the heavy lifting for you so that you can take away what you need to take away from this research. And people like me can't imply what we want to infer and want to believe, because the truth is out there. It's right there in it. And Adele puts it on his blog every single day. He works so hard and posts some of the most brilliant blog posts anywhere, and no one will dispute what I just said. No one. And the website is Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Adele, thanks so much for coming on the air today.
Thanks for having me, Cal.
Okay. All right, so there you go. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll have another great show for you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, which means I will be joined by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo for Casual Friday. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program